All right, Psalm 68, please, this afternoon in your Bible, Psalm chapter number 68. I did fail to mention one announcement. Month of June, we're going to be having a singing group here from Trinity Baptist Bible College. That's where Samantha goes. And that they're going to be here with Brother Reed and be here, I think, the 11th. Is that right? Read that, Brother Brett, read that date on that calendar up there. Tell me what it was and refresh my... June 11th. Okay. So they're going to be here 2 weeks in the evening. Yeah. Okay. So, and Miss Samantha's going to be singing. Amen. So we put her pictures and highlights there and let you all see it. You can't draw mustaches or anything like that on. You're not allowed to do that. Amen. But we thank the Lord for her, and I believe the Lord's going to use her in a wonderful way in life. Amen? And so praise the Lord. All right, Psalm chapter 68, one verse I want to call to your attention today. And I just want to preach tonight. My heart's on this missions trip. My heart is on what God would have us to do and just some things that I want to bring to your heart today. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 11. I want you to notice this amazing verse. Psalm 68:11 says, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that publish it." Yes, think of that for a minute. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that publish it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, I just pray you use us and bless us. Lord, in this mission trip, Father, thank you for the privilege, Lord, to go and do something, to reach maybe somebody who'll never be reached, to give them a chance, an opportunity to know Christ in places, Lord, where they may not have that opportunity. And Lord, I pray that you would just bless our word this afternoon, your word this afternoon, and use it in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful truth in God's word. Notice, first of all, what God said here about his word. He said the Lord gave it. The Lord gave it. You don't have something that was written by man. It was penned by man, yes. But it was given by the Lord. Amen. The Lord gave this book to us. And by the way, he didn't just give it to us. He gave it to everybody. Yeah. Everyone on the face of this earth needs to have the opportunity to have the Word of God in their heart and in their life. And some don't. You know, I'm reminded that God never told the world to come into the church. Did you know that? God told the church to go into the world. That's the difference. And the difference is that When God gave something, he wants us to publish what he gave. He wants us to get it out. Now, it's not talking just about a written. It's about getting it out. It's about spreading the word. It's about engulfing the world with his word. And God said that for several reasons. You know, we're going to load up that van today, and we're going to get in that van, and Lord willing, those ladies will be nice to me because AJ and I are outnumbered, and so we're going to stick together this week. Amen. That's what men do, right, AJ? We stick together. And but we're going to get in that van this week and do some blessed things. We're going to stop by and see Timothy in the boys' home there, and I thank you. I thank God for Timothy's life and just... He really was right there at falling through the cracks. He really was. And this church grabbed a hold of that opportunity to do something in his life. And, you know, it's literally changing his life. Amen. To have him in a good Christian home where he can hear the gospel and this, the things that boy has been through in his life. You know, if he turns out and serves the Lord, I tell you, there's going to be some rewards and some blessings for God's people. And not that we do it for rewards. We do it because we care about the people. And but the rewards also come because of it. And that's a blessing. Amen? That's a joy. But we're going to get in that van and we're going to go to a little place. I asked three of the missionaries, I said, give us some towns. Give us some towns that you know of that don't have the gospel, don't have a church. Think of this. Think of what it would be like if you didn't have a church where you live. Think of that. You certainly wouldn't have eaten a hamburger today, right? You wouldn't have had all the blessings, the fellowship, but you'd have never heard the gospel. You'd never heard the soul-saving power, how Jesus came and died because he loved us so much and he died on that cross. We'd never know the message. And you know, this may shock you, but many times when you cross into the West or you cross into Canada, Oklahoma City, we're full of churches. But you go into certain places, you'll find there's nothing there. Or if there is, it's a false doctrine of some kind that is not going to give them the need of the gospel. And don't you think they have just as much opportunity to know Christ as we do? I do. See, the gospel is not just for some. The gospel is not an elite thing. The gospel is to be given to all because it has power enough to change everybody. And that's the purpose. That's the mission we go to. That's the reason. God gave this book. He gave his word. And he said, now I want you to go out and publish it. Go out and get it out. Don't leave it set. You know, seed does no good when it's in the barn. You got to take the seed and spread it, get it out. Years ago, when I started a church in the hills of Oregon, there's a little old lady named Charlotte. Charlotte was the funniest lady you'd ever meet in your life. She wore cowboy boots and purple velvet pants. I'm not kidding. Cowboy boots, purple, and she didn't have a door on her house. No door, just a blanket that she tacked up with thumbtacks. And you didn't knock on the door, you hollered, hello? And Charlotte, one day her pipes froze and she looked at me and she said, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to do without water. That was Charlotte. And she only had one room in her house where she had heat. And she'd invite us in. My wife and I would sit on her bed, and because that was the only room she had heat, and she'd invite us, here, sit down right here. And we'd talk and fellowship with Charlotte like that. But you know, Charlotte had she was unusual in everything she did. She had an unusual way of planting her garden. She'd till it up real good. She loved her garden. But then on purpose, she would take all the seeds in her garden and mix them up on purpose. And she, when it came plant time, she just threw them all out there. That's what she did. And I thought, well, what if some, and you got her garden, I'm telling you what, it was prolific. She had stuff everywhere, but there was carrots growing up right next to a head of lettuce. I mean, it was hodgepodge garden all the way, but that thing grew. And Charlotte said, I said, well, shouldn't you plant some of them down in the ground? Oh, no, preacher, she said, whatever the Lord wants to have grow, he's going to let grow. That's what Charlotte said. That's what she said. But you know, she was a dear saint of God. But I'll tell you what, imagine if Charlotte wouldn't have spread anything in that garden, nothing would grow. But she enjoyed the fruit of that, and she enjoyed the blessings of that because she did spread it. She did spread the seed. And you know what? It's funny because even the most unusual people can spread the seed. You don't have to be anything particular. You don't have to be a super talented person. If you are, great. Praise the Lord. But you don't have to be. You can be whatever you are whatever God made you, and you can take the seed of the Word of God and you can spread it. Someone needs it. Years ago as a kid, we went to the Michigan State Fair. Now that's way up north, and the Yankees live up there, so for whatever this opportunity is, we went to the Michigan State Fair, and I'll never forget that state fair. We're walking through the state fair, and a gospel tract blew right in front of us. And I was taught, when you give out a gospel tract, if somebody takes that gospel tract and throws it away, just leave it, because you never know, the garbage man may get it. You never know. And if you give the gospel tract to somebody and they throw it on the ground, leave it. You never know where it's going to go. You never know what it'll do. I have a friend who, our missionary, Sean Lundy, he got saved because he was cleaning out the back of his car with a vacuum cleaner at a car wash and saw a crumpled up gospel tract. And he sat there with the vacuum cleaner running, read the tract, and got saved. And he's a missionary in Brazil today. And I say to you, it's amazing what happens. But if it's never spread, nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's like seed in a barn. All it can do is potentially get moldy and become useless. And so I'm saying to you today that the gospel was meant, God intended it, to be taken and spread, to be passed out, to get it around. And Charles Spurgeon he equated the gospel to like a man having a burlap sack full of seed, but he had a hole in it. And everywhere he went, he'd carry that seed basket, but everywhere he'd go, all the seeds would fall out and scatter, and the wind would take them here and there. And can I tell you, the gospel is very much like that. Don't ever be surprised where God can use a tract. Don't ever be surprised what place you could ever hear about the gospel. I know a man, he'd go into a rest area. And as he walked in the room, in the restroom, the men's restroom, in the stalls back there, he'd take a gospel tract. Hey, read this while you're waiting. And he'd take gospel tract and pass it around there, amen. I don't know what kind of ministry that is, but he sure believed in spreading the seed, amen. He believed in getting the gospel. I've walked into bathrooms before and seen somebody take a gospel tract, and I've done this many, many times. And I'll open the gospel tract, and I'll lick the back. Yeah. I lick the back. You know why? Because when you put it down on that counter, it'll stick. Because I have bad breath. Amen? And it goes right on that counter. You stick it right down there. And while somebody comes up, they're washing their hands. They're not doing anything else. But they're seeing a gospel truth. I think heaven's going to be interesting to see the people who got there from a tract that blew in the wind. Or somebody dropped over a track in a stall. You never know. You never know. You never know what God can do, but God said, take my word and publish it. Get it out there. Spread it like Charlotte was spreading seeds. Just get it out. Get it out there. You know, it's good to do things in an organized way, but when it gets right down to it, if there's a way that you can do it and it's still a little unorganized, but you can get it out there, that's the value, is getting it out there. Spreading the word. Are you spreading the word? I like to put them on gas pumps. You get done pumping gas, put them on the pumps, and while you're waiting to pump gas, go to all the other gas pumps. Give them to the waitress when you get done. Give them everywhere you go. I want to tell you something. If you're saved, let somebody else have that opportunity. And maybe somebody will never darken the door of a church, but they still deserve an opportunity to hear the saving grace of God. Amen. Amen. There have been many times in life, years ago, Years ago, I started that church in Oregon. We got a letter from an inmate in a prison in Florida. He had a gospel tract. He sent the gospel tract back with a note, with a letter, explaining how someone had given him a gospel tract in a prison in Florida. It had the church stamp on it. And he sent it back to us in Oregon. Now, I don't know if you can do the math, but the difference between Florida and Oregon is big time. And I took that track and I was astounded. I said, well, one of our people must have went down there on vacation and traveled down there and gave the gospel to somebody. And I just didn't know. I asked everybody in the church, hey, did you give a gospel track out? I haven't been to Florida. To this day, I still have no idea how a tract from Oregon got in a hand of a prisoner in Florida. But I know one thing. God takes his word and uses it in people's lives in ways that we have no idea. But the key is to get it spread. The key is to get it out. The key is to make the opportunity available to the hungry heart. The one who's going through troubles, the one who's going through problems, the one who's just had a divorce and is looking for a need, and suddenly a gospel tract of the saving grace of God appears in their broken heart and in their broken life. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, we serve a God who mends broken hearts through his word. We serve a God who can take that person whose life's just tangled and messed up. And God can take the precious word in that life and untangle that person's life so their life can be blessed and useful for God. That's the God we serve. He is a great God. And it's amazing how it happens through his word. Because the Lord gave it. He said, I gave it to you. Now, why don't you go out and publish it? You remember Jesus, before he left this earth, he incorporated 12 disciples. You remember that? He incorporated 12 of them. And one of them was Judas. He didn't spread much seed. He spread some bad seed. But the other ones got a hold of what Jesus was saying. And he said, through the local church, I want you to go out. I want you to go out into the world. I want you to find these people. Don't carry script. Don't carry purse. In other words, we're saying, just go by faith, get out there, and get that gospel to somebody. Somebody needs it. Somebody needs that gospel. Remember the day when you needed it. Remember the day when it hit your heart of your soul's need, and a preacher or a soul winner or somebody connected you with Jesus. Man, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful thing. But what if somebody didn't have the desire to publish it? Then it'd be like seed left in a barn. I say to you today that this mission trip we're going to go on is just about getting as much as we can out. You say, well, we don't live in New Mexico. No, I don't, but somebody does. Somebody does. Some little town where there's a family never heard the gospel or probably heard a strange, perverted version of it. Because this world is full of weird things. They are. Well, that somebody can take the gospel and give it to a hungry soul. And that hungry soul will soak it up because God can take the word and use it. Now, I say to you today, great was the company of those that published it. In other words, blessed was the company. Blessed was the people that just decided to give it out. Let's give it out. You know, it's not just the people going on the mission trip that'll be giving it out. But it's our whole church. This is our whole church's heart and mentality. We take everyone with us when we get on that van and go. And get the gospel out. And we'll have some fun. We'll have some fellowship on the way. But, you know, I just want to get so much seed out. And you'd be surprised. Seed takes root in one life. That one life gets on fire for God. That one life realizes their purpose in life, the fulfilling purpose, is to serve God. They get in their heart and a life. And somehow God directs them. God directs them. I challenge you to look at the preachers today. Ask them where they grew up. Ask most of the preachers where they grew up today. And I'll tell you what most of them will say. Most of them grew up in a small town where they had a faithful pastor or faithful church or some spiritual person that connected them with the gospel and God used their life. They grew and they're serving the Lord today. And boy, I tell you what, I'm looking for that person. I'm looking for that one right there. That the seed of the Word of God will take root and rest in their life. And you know what I love? The Bible tells us that when one soul gets saved, there is rejoicing in heaven over the angels. The angels rejoice. They fly around. I would love to have wings. Because when I get happy, I'd zoom around this auditorium. You know? I'd be flying around. You'd be like, whoa, preacher, what happened to you? Somebody got saved. Hallelujah. Hey, this is a wonderful thing that we have an opportunity to be a part of. And can I tell you, we need your prayers as we go. But the lost soul needs your prayer. And just pray this week. Just pray, dear Lord Jesus, there's somebody out there that's going to need that gospel track. We got gospel tracks, and we ordered some that say how to get to heaven from New Mexico in English and Spanish, because there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people in New Mexico. And then there's a few of us gringos that are there too, amen? But there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people that are there, and they need to hear that gospel. Give them a John Romans, which leads them through the pathway of salvation where they can hear it, where they can know it. And, there may be a flat tire or two. The devil won't like it. The devil's not going to like it. Amen. The ladies will persecute me. You know, there's persecution involved. Anytime we do anything for the Lord, it happens. But I want to tell you something. Let's just pray for one amazing week. Let's pray for one amazing week. And if you'll pray, greatly, that God will use it in a wonderful way. That person who never had the opportunity, you'll find him in heaven. You'll see him in heaven. And you can go up to him and say, you know what? I prayed for you. I prayed for you that the gospel would reach you, would connect in your heart and your mind, and that God take his word and use it in your life. What a blessing. What a joy. Great was the company of those that published it because the Lord gave his word. What a blessing. Let's be praying this week. Let's just ask God to do great things. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.